is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The purpose of the bodybuilding program is to have all parts working. All parts working. In the body of Christ, Jesus is the head. The Holy Spirit is like the nervous system. The head says, here's what we need to do. The nervous system tells each part what to do, and an obedient part helps the body. So these key pieces that we talked about are listed because they're foundational in keeping the body members going and growing. On course, growing in their faith, moving toward unity, using their gifts and building each other up. But they are not the only ones who are to do the work. In the body of Christ, every member should be a minister if it's going to function at optimum level.
Are you contributing to the body of Christ? In today's message from Pastor Troy, he teaches us that for the body to function properly, every part needs to contribute. Just like a physical body, the body of Christ needs every member contributing the gifts that have been given to them by God. Jesus is the head of our body, and the Spirit acts as our nervous system. The Spirit tells each part what it needs to do, but each part needs to be obedient for the body to function well. Be obedient to your part. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Most of the role of the prophet was God speaking to them, but through them, to take to the king or someone about something they needed to hear. It was for correction and direction. And sometimes it was, they could predict. They would say, hey, this king, or they saw things that were happening that they shouldn't have been able to see. Like, hey, this king in Syria is setting up battles to jump you. So don't go in these areas. And see, he would tell the king, and the king would avoid it. And they would know there was a prophet in Israel. But then they would also sometimes be predictive. They would say, hey, you're in this way, and God's going to bring people to judge you. But don't fear, because God's also going to judge them later on. And there was speak of future judgment and future things to happen. Sometimes they would speak, and there was a messianic type of a prophecy spoken, where it alludes to a Messiah, a Savior, who was to come. But they only spoke, not because they felt like it, because God's word bubbled forth from within them. God spoke to people through the prophets. So they weren't predictors. They spoke the word of God plainly, although sometimes there was prediction. In the Old Testament, they had no Bible, right? I mean, they had the law, but that was it. How do we handle this battle here? What's going to happen? Don't eat this food. Don't eat that food. You know, it doesn't help. And so the prophets God used to speak direction and correction to his people. But see, they didn't have the scriptures. Even in the New Testament, early on, they had the apostles running around, but they didn't have copies of their letters quite yet. Not early on. So they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the Bible. So as Paul, Apollos, or one of those great speakers, communicators in the early church, wrote the book of Hebrews, he reminded the people, in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. So there is no office of prophet. There is no need for the office of prophet today. We have the word of God. Prophets today, or someone who would speak in a prophetic tone or voice, does not say, thus saith the Lord, he's speaking to me that... No, they'll say, the Bible says, the word of God says. Though we don't have the office of prophet, there still seems to be a prophetic type of a ministry that exists today. And it's not a predictive type of ministry, it's bringing the word of God. This is going to sound strange because we're about to talk about evangelists, and you might lump his name in there with evangelists, and I would too. But Billy Graham was actually described by many of his contemporaries as being a prophetic voice to this generation, to this culture. Remember, prophets went to kings. Prophets went and gave information that they didn't have. So in the church, we're not going to have people saying, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm a Christian. I know what thus saith the Lord. I got the Bible. But the lost do not. And Billy Graham was a man who kings, presidents, and the like, whenever he was in town, they invited him into their home, into their presence, and they were curious. They would ask questions of this simple Southern man, and he would share from the scriptures, not deep theology, basic things. Why is this going on with Israel? It doesn't take a prophet for that. It takes just knowing your Bible. Why this? Why that? And he was able to share and help them to see things they didn't see before. Now, there wasn't a lot of transformation. The heart of the king is often very, very hard. But Billy Graham was used as a prophetic voice, getting opportunities and an audience with kings and everyone else. A prophetic voice today doesn't, again, say, "Thus saith the Lord." They say, "The Bible says." And Billy Graham, I think, said that more than anyone else. The Bible says, Scripture says, God's Word says. So there is a prophetic voice that God sends. And it's a voice that's necessary because it keeps people on track. It keeps kings on track. But there is no role of prophet. Now, evangelists. An evangelist differs from a prophetic voice in that an evangelist is a bearer of good news. Christ and Him crucified. Salvation is the point. You know, some get frustrated. Where's salvation? Where's the salvation? They've got more of an evangelistic tone and leaning. And so the gospel. What's it? It's about the gospel. Well, that's true. And it's no more true than in the heart of the evangelist. The gospel. All Christians should do the work of an evangelist. All Christians should share the gospel. If you think hell's a place you don't want people to go, that should inspire you. But for the evangelist, it ignites them. How they may not be saved. They're not sharing the gospel with lost friends and family. Because the evangelist is flamed and wired that way. There's this gift. There's this burning. They must speak. And they must speak about that. Deep theology, Doctrine, The gospel. And that's their heart. That's their passion. And then there's a difference in the gifts even within the evangelism realm. Some are gifted to speak to large audience. Now, Billy Graham did that. He was able to, people would just come to the Lord, or at least they would break down. Now, whether their conversion experience was, a feeling in the moment or genuine, many were genuine. Many may not have been. That's between them and God. But as far as them getting understanding and realizing their need, Billy Graham did a great job. He did it to spoke to large audiences. But there's others who, they're not called to that. They don't do that good. They're not comfortable with it. They're not good at it. It doesn't work. It's not good. It doesn't function well. But you get them to talking one-on-one with people. You get them out on the street or you knocking on doors even. And man, it's like God is there. One person might knock on the door and pray, "Lord, let the power of your Spirit fall upon this place. Lord, I pray for the family," or if it's just, they're pouring it out and God is there in abundance. Another person, a Christian, they may be at the door and knock and they pray, "Lord, please don't let anyone be home. Please just don't let anyone be home." And it's not because they're less than the other person. That's not their fit. That's not where they excel. That's not where they thrive. Now, all of us need to be able to and willing to evangelize and share. But different people are different. Even in like music ministry, people who write songs, there are some who they write songs and all of their songs are, "You are great. You are awesome. How mighty he is." And greatness is to be attributed to God. And they write worship songs. That's their heart. That's what comes there. They're not going, "I'm going to write a worship song." It doesn't matter. What they express is worship. It goes up. But then there are others, and they talk about in their music the road, the journey, how God's picked them up, and how gracious and merciful He is, and how I want to stay close to you. That's their heart. That's what comes out of it. There's others that it's evangelism driven. So you got evangelism involved. They write the music, and it's evangelistic in nature too. Come to the Lord. Come to the fount. Come just as you are. Different things, different gifts, different things bubbling up. By the way, because of the reality of hell, all Christians should have a burden for the lost. But there are different gifts. All should participate in the work of evangelism, but not everyone is an evangelist or called to it. In fact, those who are called to evangelism often do that full time. They see their job, tent making. If I need to do it to survive, I do it. But I serve the Lord and I go out and I share the gospel. It's not like a ministry you do once a month. It's what you do. It's who you are. That's the call, the role of an evangelist. Then there's pastors and teachers. This speaks to those who, they stay in one place. They're called to one place, one body, one fellowship, both pastors and teachers. Teachers can teach, but they don't necessarily have a heart for others. You know, it's like, there's the information, there you go. But a shepherd cares that people actually get it, that they understand, and they care that there's feedback and things that are going on. Is a shepherd's heart. They're in one place. It's hard to have a good shepherd when, you guys okay? Okay, good. And then they're somewhere else, and then they're somewhere else, and every now and then checking on the sheep. So pastors and teachers are called to be in one place, one location, one body for the purpose of building it up. They're given a responsibility to be accurate and to teach as God leads. I mean, teach the Bible, not what they think. Not to conform people into their image, but into the image of Christ. And it's for the building up of the body. The term pastor means shepherd. So they're given responsibility, but they're also accountable to God for what they teach. The guiding, the guarding. It's like God says, here, tend to them, but I'm going to hold you accountable. If bad doctrine comes in, I'm holding you accountable. If the winds of the current world and philosophies of the world blow in, I'm holding you accountable. You're the pastor. You guys are the pastors. You guys are the teachers there. I hold you accountable. Because of the nature of the role and the influence that role has in the lives of individuals, it comes with a warning. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. It's not for someone to decide, I want to do it. In fact, pick one of the other three. Go share the gospel. If God uses you prophetically to share in certain environments the word of God and say, the Bible says, then that's good. Or starting and planting and building up churches because you're administrative, because there's some administrative gift that's tied into that and other things, and you build up and you move on, do those things. But when it says, when you teach, there's a high accountability for the teaching.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
All of these are key pieces to God's bodybuilding program. That's why they're listed here. Apostolic ministries, plant and shepherd. Prophetic voices are given great opportunities to speak directly, often to important key leaders in a community. Evangelists carry the good news out into the world. Pastors and teachers plant themselves in order to train and disciple. Discipleship is a key in the heart of a pastor. And all of this is for a larger purpose. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. You see where we're headed? We're being directed. We're being brought toward Christ-likeness, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So finally, the bodybuilding purpose. Notice the pattern. God gives gifts to the saints. Saints serve the body, and the body is built up. In a healthy body, every single member is a minister. In the body of Christ, there aren't fans. There aren't congregants or crowds. There are servants. Servants of the Most High God, all with gifts, all with something to contribute. In fact, the body functions best when all parts function. The pastor's purpose is not to meet all of the needs of all of the people in a church. If I'm reading my Bible correct, the pastor's role is to equip people to meet the needs of the body, to equip people to meet the needs one for another, the needs in the body. I once heard this early on. It means more to me now than it did back then. But he said, pastors die the death of 1,000 expectations. Everyone walking into a church has at least one expectation of the pastor or the leadership or the church in general. At least one. But that's at a minimum. Most have several, sometimes hundreds of expectations of the pastor, leadership, or the church. Some of them are realistic and should be met, but many of them are unrealistic and can never be met. I'm the hardest on myself. I have higher expectations than I can actually fulfill for myself. I try to do far more than I can actually do. Good intentions, but it doesn't help. It doesn't work. Moses was showing the father-in-law all that he was doing. Look at the ministry, man. All these guys come to me. I tell them, and what do I do? And Moses' father-in-law said, look, what you're doing is not good. You're frustrating the people. They're in line. They're waiting, and all this stuff is going on. And look, they don't need to get to you for their counsel. Why don't you set up 70 others, and you let all the counsel go to them? You got to lead. You got to do certain things. And so you lead, and you set up the 70, and let them come to them. If there's anything too great, let them come to you then. It's good insight, wasn't it? The 70 elders that was established there would later on in Israel become a model for them, and they would set up the Sanhedrin, 70 leaders in Israel, because it was such a good idea. It was so helpful. So a study was done at Stanford University, and they asked churchgoers to write down the time a pastor should spend doing the different things they thought the pastor ought to do. And so they took, you know, there's lots of opinions, there's lots of ideas. And so just to name a few, they mentioned things like studying the Bible. Some remembered that. That was good. Studying the Bible, visiting members of his church, visiting the sick in the hospital, making phone calls, counseling others at church, after church, and during the week, administrative work, checking on the pastoral staff, and so many other things. I could go on and on with the list. But when they averaged everything out, they discovered that the average Christian expected that their pastor should put in, with the time allotted, they said 135 and a half hours per week in ministry. Now that would leave 32 and a half hours per week, which if he said goodbye to his family and limited eating and bathroom, would give him 4 hours of sleep a night. Those are the expectations that we set, that we have. We don't think they're that. It's like little thing, little thing here, 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 little thing here. And trust me, I've little thinged myself to death. I have higher expectations than any of you could ever put on me. And I become aware I can't meet them. I can't do them. I can't do that. I thought I could, but I can't. When I started this church, I did almost all of the work. You know, I had my little a cart and thing, and I brought it in. We'd bring it upstairs, and we're serving the Lord. You know, we'd set things up and tear things down, and I would make sure that someone could take care of either coffee or the kids, and I kind of directed all of that, and, you know, that was just what I did. I led worship, too. I'd lead the worship, and whenever we had worship, I'd do the worship. I picked the curriculum for the children. I tried to do everything. If they had questions, I was it. I was the go-to guy, so I answered all the questions. I would counsel after service during the week, sometimes from the workplace. I would count the money, deposit the money, and do all of that stuff. I would order supplies and do the general admin that was necessary. All of that while I actually held a full-time job. I did all of that while I held a full-time job until the Lord began to move me over into this full-time. As the church grew, I began to look for body parts, though. I need help. But I don't know what I need. I don't know what I need. I've never done this before. So when someone would say, hey, I have a heart for children's ministry, it was kind of like, you do? Well, by all means, help us. And then as soon as possible, They would ask me, hey, what about curriculum? Hey, what about science? So, you know, if there was the potential for the ministry to get better, they have questions that I never thought about. I'm like, you know what? You don't need me anymore. You've got it. You got great questions. You go for it. You tell us. And so I would turn things over. Probably I had some lessons to learn in that as well. But I needed body parts because it was growing. It's constantly in that state, it seems like. There's always a need for change. So one of my problems, I'm a good administrator, or I was, and when administrative stuff grows around me, I don't notice it. I'm just used to doing everything. I was the one. Somebody else had the work. I was the administrator. I took it. That was my job. I took it. So when I was the pastor who needed help administrating, I didn't think about it. I just did it. But I realized much later, I need a hand or an arm or a shoulder or something. I don't know what it is, but Lord, I need something. So we're actively, even to this day, we're looking. We're always looking to pass on some of the workload to some of the body parts that God brings to his body, that God adds to the church. You're a significant portion. I mean, there was a time when Ophelia and I tried to have lunches. Or dinners, actually. So Fridays and Saturdays. And this was early on. I was still working full-time before I went full-time here even. And we just tried to get to know people, and it was always over lunch, and it was always after hours. And I tried, and we'd schedule things out, and then we couldn't. And I'll tell you, that was a very difficult, challenging time in our home because my wife was basically saying, look, we can't do this anymore. We can't do it. I'm not going to do it. It's not a lack of love. It's like, we can't keep doing this. We can't be the only ones trying to do this. And so we had stopped. We sort of weaned out of doing a lot of dinners and things like that. It was way, way too much. The purpose of the bodybuilding program is to have all parts working. All parts working. In the body of Christ, Jesus is the head. The Holy Spirit is like the nervous system. The head says, here's what we need to do. The nervous system tells each part what to do, and an obedient part helps the body. So these key pieces that we talked about are listed because they're foundational in keeping the body members going and growing on course, growing in their faith, moving toward unity, using their gifts and building each other up. But they are not the only ones who are to do the work. In the body of Christ, every member should be a minister if it's going to function at optimum level. So we all have gifts and function that the Lord's calling upon or calls upon to be exercised so that his grace can be manifest toward others in its various forms. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what are your gifts? You don't always know. Sometimes you think, or sometimes you want. Sometimes we want our gift to be something. The goal is to get our foot in the door, to step in. God can direct. God can shut doors and open doors and direct and show us, this is what you do. Well, not that. No, you don't do that very well. And he can direct us. But it's like the Lord doesn't direct a vehicle that's not moving. Ours is to step. Ours is to trust. Ours is to seek the Lord. He's longing to build a beautiful body. Every part functioning, every member a minister. So what are your gifts, and are you investing them in the body of Christ? In the body of Christ. God wants to use your gifts in order to build a beautiful body. And so the question I'll close with is, are you willing to let him use you?
That's all the time we have for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely will return soon with more from his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Ephesians. But in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about how what you've heard today can be applied to your own life. We'd also like to encourage you to get involved in a local church. And if you live in or are visiting the San Antonio, Texas area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? Our church meets every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. At each service, you'll be able to join us for a time of fellowship, Bible study, study and worship. Go to buildingonthesolidrock.com for more information, and be sure to tune in again for more from the book of Ephesians right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine.